Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, Omicron B for bitch.
His unbreakable career has died hard.
Karaoke Fight Club, I'm in.
Snitching on the Russian oligarchs, too much hassle.
Hobo diarrhea.
I am become Ripley, destroyer of toys.
That'll be my half ear night.
Hoop or grandma's toes.
Sorry, Vader, your color is lame.
What kind of a hobo deal?
At least 14% cat hair.
Virus, don't come to Vegas.
Within throwing distance of a $5 Bally's chip.
There are LED lights with Bill.
Vibrating rock hard pillars with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If you've been hurt, we can help. Call the law firm of Joins & Bieber. We'll work hard for you.
Twice I even had surgery on my asshole. Not fun.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
I love the smell of polyurethane in the morning.
This is The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022. This is The Morning Stream. I'm Scott and he's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Oh, you know, I don't know. Remind me not to check the news in the morning because I don't need to be told there's some new variant that everyone's not expecting and that we're all going to get smacked with it in 3 weeks. That's not the timing I want.
Is this the stealth variant or is there a newer one than that?
This one's called B2 or something or B, B something. Anyway, stay away from us until like, you know, like November. Come back in November. Fine. Whatever. I'll stay in the house then. But I hear
it's running rampant at the pinball festival in Dallas.
Well, you might see that's the beauty of that trip is you'll probably miss it. But don't come to Vegas. I'm saying everyone else come to Vegas.
What?
But virus, don't come to Vegas. Stay away.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yes. Well, this is specific. We're just talking the virus. I've been looking. The virus has not bought a hotel room at the Plaza yet.
Good,
and the virus has not bought the swag package, ticket package from frogpants.com/store.
Yeah.
Shop?
Store. And look, yeah. if the virus wants to buy the swag only version, that's fine. We'll send it to you. Don't come to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, we'll even send it to you free if you don't show up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this is a good plan. Anyway.
By the way, meant to tell you this, I love the 70s version of our theme song.
Sure.
You could play that 3 times a week and I'd be happy.
Sure.
Alan Munson wrote in on March 11th and said, no, I'm sorry. It was Connor wrote in on March 17th, just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Said, probably the first ever top of show song request. Can you please tell Scott to play the guitar rock version of the TMS theme at the top of the show? Haven't heard it in what seems like years, and I miss it. My favorite version, signed Connor.
It's his favorite, eh?
Yeah, so not today, but like tomorrow or Thursday or at some point. Surprise us.
So the three I have queued up, for the record, are this one. Obvious, right?
Yep, the...
that one. And then this
Nighthawk?
One. Skyhawk, Eric did it.
Skyhawk, I mean, not Nighthawk.
Yeah, he's, you know, at night he's Nighthawk. In the day...
Well, yeah, I see. Yeah, it's a secret identity.
Yeah, exactly. We got this from today.
The Morning.
All right, and then we got this sometimes.
I forget about that one.
Yeah, so the one he's talking about is...
It's the Bo Schwartz version.
Bo Schwartz, yeah. I don't know where I put that one.
Why don't you cue that one up as a fourth? Have that one on the...
I should. Why don't I? Why don't I do it?
He, like, recorded that specifically for us.
I know. He did. And he had lyrics to one version of it.
I know. What? Yeah. What? Did you ever play the lyric version?
I think so. Let me play it. Hold on. Is this it? No. Oh, I have to download the damn thing. Hold on. It's cloud saved. All right, here we go. This is it. All right.
So when does he start singing?
Okay, that's just the that's the regular
that's
one.
The
oh, here he is with him singing. All right, okay, sit back and enjoy, everybody.
It's the morning stream, almost every day with Scott and Brian. They're gonna talk about a lot of things with really cool people. And the caveman is the morning stream, bites of audio data.
Why are we using this thing every day?
That thing's ridiculous, man. Even
oh my
he knows
God,
it.
Awesome.
I love it. He does rule.
Dude,
he's great. He does our core intro as well, which is pretty great. Different song, but you know.
Yeah.
Similar vibe.
I like that we have, you know, yet another rocker in our family, you know? Like,
I agree. These talented bastards, man.
Yeah.
Talented. Yeah. I mean, Bo would never tell you he's a great singer or anything. And probably from hearing that you can probably agree, but
whatever.
But,
I mean,
whatever.
I could throw a stone and hit five people with Grammys that aren't good singers. You know?
Yeah, baby. Look at that. Look at Brian going after those Grammys. When is that?
Well, I'll even go after folks like Bob Dylan. Incredible songwriter. Not a great singer.
No.
Horrible singer. Okay, maybe not a horrible singer, but he's because his singing now is so ingrained with that songwriting that I can't think of one without the
Yeah,
other.
You could call
Everybody
him an iconic.
Everybody must get stoned.
He's an iconic singer. But not a good singer. Like you can't measure Bob Dylan by the quality of his singing. You have to measure it by the long term exposure to it.
Exactly. the
It's impossible to avoid, right?
Stamina or whatever it is. David Bowie. Jeannie brings up David Bowie. I love David Bowie, and I can't argue with her about that. Like you listen to songs like My Little China Girl, you shouldn't mess with me. I'll ruin everything you are.
Yeah. It's not good. It's
yeah. Joe Cocker, great example. Janis Joplin. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all bad. Turns out.
I'll give you television.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you. I'm not a good singer either, so it fits. I could do.
Yeah.
Coming in April. When we do some sort of weird karaoke thing at some point, late night drunk fest, I'll do China Girl.
Perfect.
on the karaoke for everybody.
I probably won't be there, but that's okay. Cause not a big fan of karaoke. Don't really drink. So, maybe that'll be my half ear night. That'll be the half ear.
Oh, there you go. Eat a half a Tyson ear. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't have to. It's not Fight Club. This is like. If it's your first time at karaoke, you have to sing.
Yeah, but listen, you know, karaoke is by definition terrible. Unless you're drunk.
But you're watching the people you love.
Yeah, but
get
if you're drunk, you're like
fools of themselves.
If you're drunk, like you're like yeah, woo. And if you're not, you're like oh, I can't cringe anymore. I'm going to cringe myself to death. I can't
do it. That's the beauty of it. It's you know. People both sober and drunk can enjoy karaoke equally. You get up there and you watch a jury get up there and do We Built This City, and you're reveling in the cringe factor of the whole thing.
Am I, though? I feel like I'm... I get a little nauseous. I feel like watching him
All
do that.
Right, well, I, you know... Maybe,
I mean, look, I'll hang around as long as I can, but the minute somebody gets up and does, like, Feelings or some shit like that...
Oh, well, nobody does that. I mean, as soon as Total Eclipse of the Heart comes on, you know the night's over.
Yeah,
it's basically...
everyone go home. Yeah. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That's when that kicks in.
And yes, Bobby, I have watched people do karaoke while sober. He asked if I actually can be having provide an objective opinion. Listen, every once in a while I have to be designated driver, and back in the old days when we were hanging out with... our friends Kathy and Scott. Kathy loved to do karaoke. Sometimes I'd be designated driver because it was that liquid courage that got everybody else up there to start performing.
Yeah. Well,
have I mentioned my Animotion story?
No.
I think I have on the show.
No, I don't. Well, I don't know. Maybe you did.
Oh, we're gonna do it really quick anyway, okay, so we don't have Brian Dunaway today.
Yeah, go for it.
So this was back in the day when we would do karaoke occasionally with our friends Kathy and Scott, and Kathy loves doing karaoke, but she's always really nervous about getting up there, and so she said, "Brian, if we do Obsession by Animotion, will you go up there with me and do the song?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, no problem, I'll do that." And because it's like, I need that buddy up there too. Going up there solo is really rough. It's nerve-wracking, but I get it. She wants to go up. I want to go up, and having somebody up there works. So sure. We get up there and do the, "Inside you, and I will dance you, and I will dance you." You know, the song Obsession by Animotion.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even think of any of the lyrics other than the chorus.
Yep.
So we get up there. We do the song. Then it's like goes back into the, you know, as it does to the end of the song. We go and we sit down and wouldn't call it, you know, thunderous applause, but certainly the yes, you did that. Please sit down.
Yeah, never go up again. Sure.
Never go up again. Mm. And as we're sitting there, the music is still going. The lyrics come back in, and we didn't realize that song had such a long instrumental break in the middle of it. Because then it kicks back in with, "I will have you. Yes, I will have you.
I will."
Meanwhile, we're already sitting back at our table, and the karaoke person comes on. "Do you guys want to come back up? Want to finish this?" We're like, "Nah, we're good. Thanks. You can let it go. Fade this one out."
Why is that song so freaking loud or long? I mean, it's so long.
I don't know. I don't know why the instrument. It's like normally you get like a 16-bar instrumental break. This thing has like a 32 or 64-bar instrumental break. It's super.
It's weird.
Super
also, long. I don't like the redundancy of those lyrics. I will have you. Yes, yeah, I will have you. It's something, something, something. I will have
like
you.
Like butterfly.
Yeah.
A like wild butterfly.
Yeah. Let me explain the butterfly 4 more times in this song about butterflies. It's a weird song. Really weird.
One more. Can I tell you one more karaoke story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we just get off of this topic forever.
Why not?
So my buddy Don, this was a Vegas trip. And just off the strip, there is like over by Bally's, if you continue on the road that bisects the strip from Bally's.
Oh, yeah.
This is how long it's been since I've been there. I can't remember the name of this bar, but it's known in even with the locals as being the place you go for karaoke near the strip. So people come to town, they'll go there, but it's a lot of locals there as well. And so we went there because my friend Don likes to do karaoke.
Sure.
He got up there to do Mumford and Sons' Little Lion Man.
Oh yeah.
And he's singing it, and it's like, you know, this is not some Saturday night, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever. And he goes up there and he gets to the chorus and he's, "Well, it's not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really did up this time." But of course, he said the actual word.
Yeah.
And the person running karaoke looks over and, like, you know, shakes her head no, like don't do that.
Wait, were the words on the screen though?
The words were on the screen. And it's
and
part
you're
of the
in Vegas
song.
And you're in a bar and you can't say the F word?
We're in a bar in a karaoke, like in a karaoke lounge inside a bar, inside a casino after 10 o'clock in Las Vegas. And she's not going to allow him to say that. So the next time the chorus comes on, he's singing again. He's ready to do it. She takes and she mutes the microphone for that one word.
Why? What? I don't, that's weird to me.
It's extremely weird. It's like
I don't get.
There's not a kid within a throwing distance of a $5 Bally's chip,
Yeah, that's odd. It's not like you're there in the morning or something, or even then. Exactly. Why would it matter? That's weird. I don't get.
Well,
it.
and even if the karaoke cover, you know, the lyrics on screen cover up the expletive, you're not going to go up there and say, "I really it up this time, mm-hmm. didn't I, my dear?" No, you sing it. You don't go up there and sing Pink Floyd's Money and don't say "do goody good bullshit." You sing the lyrics that are the lyrics.
So when that song was new, let me tell you a funny story about that. My kids, not me, I didn't prompt this, but my kids in the car, we would all be in the car. So this is before Tay was married. She was probably in high school.
did you throw a towel over the speaker?
No, none of that. None of that. So I am perfectly willing to let that song just play. And we really liked Mumford & Sons. We were fans. Nick would have been much younger. Carter was in like junior high. So they're all young. We're in the car. and that song would come on, and you'd get to the "I really effed it up this time," and they would just make a giant collective beep sound. The three of them.
The kids would bleep the word out.
Yeah, so it'd go, "We're really," and they'd go, "Beep it up this time." They'd do it from the back of the car. And it wasn't me doing it, and I would just laugh. I thought that was great. Because we wouldn't turn it down or anything. We just let it play. But I don't know where they got that from. They probably...
If there was ever any doubt that those were your children, that erases...
Yeah, you're not wrong. Like, we, you know, there was a time where if... I think I've told this. If there was a movie or TV show and we were all as a family watching it and anyone even made out or kissed, it didn't have to even be something worse than that. Just somebody kissing, I would go... and make little fart noises on the couch.
Yes.
And now that's all we do if we're together. Doesn't matter. It could be Pixar and somebody kisses somebody and one of my kids will go, "Hey, Dad." So it's a thing we have. It's great. I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, all right. There's all the karaoke you're going to hear about until April. All right, everybody.
Yeah, till April, until the next morning after when... No, you know, because the first rule about karaoke club.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like the third rule, you know, if it's your first time in karaoke, you have to sing just like that. The first rule is you don't talk about karaoke.
There it is. Now, let's speak of something much more pleasant. This question I have for you.
Yes.
If somebody came to you and said, everything in life, all of it, is going to be free to you. So that means, Brian, you want a fleet of a giant mansion and a fleet of Maseratis. They're yours. You just have them.
Okay.
You want your own private plane? No problem. You got it. Whatever you want, whatever you need, food, clothing,
any desire, whatever.
Everything money can buy, you can just have for free. Here's the caveat. Okay? Free forever, by the way. Until you're off this mortal coil, you get everything for free.
All right.
This is a dream I had, by the way. That's why I'm telling this.
Okay.
In the dream, this is how it worked, and I wanted to see how you'd react.
Yeah, all right.
So you get all that stuff for free, but here's a big but. Every single thing you ever eat, which you have to do to survive as a human being, has 1 to 2 ounces minimum hobo poop. And the reason it's hobo poop...
My favorite Sloan song, by the way.
Yeah, it's really good. That one really... It didn't get high enough in the charts for my taste, but it was pretty good. So the reason I say this is, first of all, I was in the dream. And the reason it's hobos, hobos are different. I'm not saying homeless poop. Everyone keep your emails to yourselves. Right. That's not what I'm saying.
You're basically describing the person with a stubble and a stick over their shoulder with a bindle made up of a bandana containing...
Yes.
Probably containing a bottle of liquor that has XXX on the label.
Yes, and these guys, you know, they kind of have magic powers, sort of. They travel by train. They all know the secrets and everything. So anyway, we're talking that. But they're not great eaters. They're kind of gross.
Of hobo poop.
Every meal you eat, it doesn't matter what's in it. If you just got a shake driving through a McDonald's. That McDonald's has 1 to 2 ounces.
Oh, that's a bad example because that might already have it in there. Let's.
We can't. That's why you guys wonder.
let's say Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. All right, Chick-fil-A. Whoever you get a thing. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Greatest meals in the world. You got Chef Ramsay right in front of you doing your personal bidding because money's never an object. Yet everything you have to eat has not just hobo poop. In the dream, it was specifically. Here, I'll play this to get it out of my system. Here, hold on. It was hobo. Oh, where is it? Where's my...
Diarrhea.
It's hobo diarrhea.
Oh, jeez. Right?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the deal. So do you, in the dream... I'll get to that in a second. If somebody presented that to you, would you do it? All things are free to you, Brian, in the whole world, except this 2 ounces of hobo diarrhea and everything you eat. And so you would have to... Oh, by the way, that the way it worked in the dream was it scaled. So you couldn't say... Well, all right, fine. I'll eat a, 400-inch pizza. That's only got an ounce. Well, no. It would scale up depending on the total. So you had a ceiling.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
really?
you had a ceiling of how much total food was there. That was an ounce or 2 ounces. And then as the food's weight went up, the amount of hobo diarrhea went up with it. So would you do it?
Okay, question. Clarification.
Go.
Is it always going to be from the same hobo, or would it be a mix of different hobos?
You never know. You never know who's hobo is on tap.
That adds an extra wrinkle. No, I definitely wouldn't do this. I would not take this deal.
For all, it's all the money deal, and power Howie. In the world.
No deal.
Okay. So no, you, it doesn't, you could have a fleet of personal jets. You could, you
no.
could,
it no,
drop,
wouldn't be worth
fly
it.
To Singapore tonight and have a party with some karaoke in Singapore and be back in Vegas by...
I couldn't do it.
Okay.
What all happens right. if I eat a meal with somebody? Do they get, like, let's say I get one of these magical 400-inch pizzas yeah. from Big Caesars.
yeah.
Do only the slices that I eat magically have hobo poop on them? So, like, if they have a slice of pizza, it wouldn't have any hobo poop?
No, this is the other problem. They are also subjected to, but if they're eating yeah, what
that,
you're
that
eating.
That definitely makes it an easy decision. No way.
Now, if they ate, like Tina goes with you, let's say.
Yeah.
And she says, I'll have the
chicken. She orders something different.
yeah, she can order something different. It will not have the hobo diarrhea in it, but yours always will, no matter what you get. So you're never going to have a shared thing ever. Unless you are with someone who's crazy and wants to eat that. Why
do all of your this or that questions either involve poop or like grandma's toes?
I don't know.
Or something like that.
I don't
that.
Know. I don't know what this was about. I really don't know what brought this stupid dream on. It was so bad. For the record, in the dream, I chose also not to do it, and I was thrown in some hypothetical jail for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't tell me that there was a penalty for not... not accepting the deal.
Only in this dream did that happen, but I didn't know the penalty until it was handed down. So now, Brian, you go to jail. That's what happened.
Oh, well, you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah. Isn't that a dumb thing to dream? My brain is...
What a bizarre thing to dream.
Yeah, my dreams, dude. You know what it was? I ate a bag of Chex Mix before bed because I was... I don't know why. Here it is right here. Where'd it go? Oh, I threw it away. But I had a little snack pack version of a Chex Mix thing. It's got like the little pretzels and those little Melba Toast things.
I love the Melba Toast, like the Melba Toast circles. Those are the best.
Yeah. I ate those and then drank.
I'm a jerk because I kind of picked those out first. And then Tina's like, where are all the Melba Toast? There's just pretzels and peanuts in here. Those squiggly orange breadsticks.
That might be my favorite version of her doing a thing. It's really good. It's so good because it plays on both the stereotypes of those stupid pieces that are in there and great voice.
Exactly.
It's very good. Well, I'm going to stop eating before bed is the point. I already have.
I think you should.
I'm not supposed to eat after 7. I've been pretty good about doing that. Once in a while, I'll like, you know, cave and eat something dumb. But I swear if I ate popcorn, I'd still dream.
I don't know what it is about. You know, when I drink, I have weird dreams. I usually don't sleep very well, especially if it's tequila. I sleep horribly.
Does that make sense, though?
I wonder what would happen if you drank.
I was going to say, it makes sense because it's a psychoactive thing, right? Like drinking would put...
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
So I
wonder what would happen. Like, would your dreams get worse or would they get better? Would it counteract whatever it is in your brain that... I guess it was the Chex Mix. We'll blame it on the Chex Mix.
I could do Kim has cooking wine. She has some cooking wine. You know, I could try that right before bed. And see how that treats me.
I don't think there's a lot of alcohol in cooking wine.
I don't know what's in there. Actually, I think she gets the good stuff. She goes to like her and Carter. Carter's in the chat. They went to a liquor store. Yeah. This must have been hilarious because they don't drink either. But they're in the they're in the liquor store buying like vodka for the what is it you make with vodka? Vanilla extract stuff.
Oh, right.
So they're in there buying that. They're buying a bottle of this and that. They bought some rum for some cooking thing Kim wanted to do. Like all these things. And just bopping around and they're being all friendly and everything. Everyone else in there is just kind of, oh, give me my booze. I got to get out of here. And they're just like, yeah, we're going to go home and make some vanilla out of this. But so that means technically there's some like legit vodka in the kitchen somewhere.
There is, yeah, for sure. So there you go. Have a little shot before bed tonight. Let us know what your dreams are.
All right, I'll let you guys know how it went.
We'll call it, you know, vanilla Mexican vanilla extract, whatever. We can kind of lump this into your virgin pina colada experience.
Yeah.
And call it
my Mexico
an extension of that, and keep your streak safe. It's for science.
Yeah, and plus the continent's still. I mean, Mexico is technically North America. right? No. Isn't it?
It's Central America, isn't it?
No,
oh, I guess
north.
If you're not talking about, yeah, right, because it would be North America, yes.
Because they're part of the North
there's
American
trade agreement.
There's
not a continent Central
agreement.
America. Yeah. There's a region Central America, but there's not a continent, yes.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people forget that. But they, you know, I'm still, we're all connected. We're all just one people here. Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Central America is not a continent. We know, Bobby. We're what we know.
Yeah, I said that, Bobby. Yeah,
I think Brian said region. That's what he said.
I did.
Brian Region. All right.
It's a region.
Here's this. I'd like to register a complaint.
Oh, that's a complaint sound. Okay. Yes, yeah, good.
Unbreakable dog toys that are breakable. So
okay,
Carter has a giant dog. Her name is Ripley, Ellen Ripley. She's a fantastic dog. We love her. But she likes to chew, and so you get her chew toys, and you buy these Kong things. That are supposed to be guaranteed to never break.
Bright red, thick rubber Kongs.
Yeah, right? It's some bullshit. There is what I'm telling you. They don't. They break. Yeah. Fine. She chews through those things the day she gets them. So she and there she is. Says it. She's a big, sweet toy destroyer. That is absolutely true. So she did buy a ring, like a rubber ring from somewhere. I don't know if it was Kong, maybe somebody else. And then she jammed a Kong toy into the ring. So now it's like this unholy abomination of a ring Kong nightmare.
Like almost like a canvas. Is that what the material is? Or a Tyvek or something?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
There was something that we got that Ruby was never able to destroy. And she was a toy destroyer. She loved stuffed animals and she would like carry them around. It was her little baby. She'd gently put it in her mouth and walk around the house with this little stuffed animal in her mouth until she decided she'd had enough of it. And then she'd rip the eyes out of it.
Oh, well, you get frustrated.
Every
you know?
Single time. That was the first thing to go were the eyes.
You don't remember the brand of the thing that she couldn't break? Do you remember it?
No, I'd probably be able to find it at a PetSmart. Like it was a very, like it was neon green and pink and it was like a canvasy Tyvek kind of material. And she never was able to tear that thing up.
All right. Well,
I'll find it while you're talking about, alliance of rubber toy.
I just think if you're going to claim on your product that it's unbreakable. All right. And unless you're talking about Bruce Willis in a good movie, then it doesn't actually freaking work. Oh, you know what? I have all kinds of questions about Bruce Willis's career right now. I know we're not supposed to talk about this, but it made me think of this. He's in some other new movie. I just saw him and Frank Grillo and I don't know who all. Where he's just kind of photoshopped into the poster once again.
Yeah. This is horrible. Like,
what's going on? I don't get it.
He is like taking any good on him if that's just what he wants to do and take any new project that somebody throws in front of him. But yeah, you look at his like. Last 5 years of stuff, and it's unrecognizable films you've never heard of with people who, we're in that one thing with that one guy, but
yeah, you know, like has he done it? I'm trying to think of the last thing he did that we were all meant to take seriously, and I can't think of even what it was. Maybe
was it the last
Tears of the Sun or something, or that was a long time ago.
Forever ago, yeah. I mean, I would think the last Die Hard was the thing, or, you know, an Expendables appearance was the last thing. Let's see here. Let's actually play this game and see what...
Looper. Good answer, Tally. I think it's Looper.
Is Looper the most recent thing we're supposed to...
Not the most recent, but I think, well, it feels like the most... The thing that he last did where I went, yep, Bruce Willis is still doing cool shit. You know, he's involved in good projects, you know, he's not, you know, who do we always make fun of that says Vladimir Putin funny?
Steven Seagal.
Yeah, he's turning into Steven Seagal.
Seagal.
There's a weird Seagal thing. Steven Seagal. He's turning into a weird kind of Steven Seagal deal, and I don't get it.
All right, so let's see here. By the way, he's in pre-production on something called Fortress 3. Due to come out in 2022. Something that also came out in 2022, Fortress 2, Sniper's Eye. And then something that came out in 2021, Fortress.
Wow.
I've never seen... When was the last time you saw a movie that had the original and two sequels come out within 18 months of each other?
Yeah, I don't get it. Are these remakes of the Christopher Lambert movies? The Fortress
Probably
movies?
Not. I'm guessing no.
Weird. Yeah, I just don't get
starring
it.
Starring Jesse Metcalf and Chad Michael Murray. Along with Bruce Willis.
I mean, look at
this. Shannon Doherty as Dobbs.
Early career, you know, Die Hard, Pulp Fiction, Moonlighting on TV, The Sixth Sense.
Oh, I know. Like, yeah.
So many great movies, so many amazing small things. And then a whole bunch of, like, artsy-fartsy stuff.
Yeah. Was Death Wish? Death Wish was the Bronson remake, right?
Yes. Yeah, and it was bad.
Yeah,
well,
Vincent D'Onofrio and Elizabeth Shue,
12 Monkeys, Fifth Element.
Why are we seeing that for FilmSack, by the way? I know there's going to be a lot of this stuff in here. But yeah, you look at, let's look at stuff that's actually been released. A Day to Die, Gasoline Alley, American Siege, Deadlock, Apex, Survive the Game, Out of Death.
What is this?
Midnight in the Switchgrass.
What is this?
Sin.
It looks terrible. What are any of
and
these?
Those are all just 2021.
Yeah. And the Die Hard is back short in 2020. That was a commercial that where he came back as John McClane for a car or some shit.
Yeah.
I'm nervous for his world. I don't know what's going on.
Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, and Lisa Kudrow, around the time last year of the Friends reunion, they made an appearance, did an interview on the Howard Stern show. And he said, you know, you guys had so many celebrities that appeared on Friends. Was there somebody that was just difficult to work with? Almost like he knew what the answer was going to be.
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah, there was one person that basically just showed up and kind of acted when the cameras were on, but the whole rest of the time was like, no, 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 I don't care. No, whatever. Get away from me. Get away from me.
Yeah.
And they didn't say who it was. And finally, Howard Stern kind of got it. All right. Does his name rhyme with Schmoose Schmillis?
That doesn't surprise me. I feel like we've heard other stories, like the Expendables set. He was kind of a dick on.
Kevin Smith described almost that exact same thing working with him as soul crushing in that book, that
Die Hard,
Kevin Smith autobiography. Yeah, just said that he was impossible to work with. So yeah, Good Day to Die Hard, G.I. Joe, would we call, all right, what would we say would be the last thing we were meant to take seriously? The Sin City sequel in 2014, mm-hmm. The sequel to Red 2, or G.I. Joe Retaliation?
I'm going with that
Sin City?
Yeah.
2014 then would be the last thing that we were kind of meant to say, oh, yeah, Bruce Willis, all right.
Yeah. You know,
doing another sequel, doing whatever.
Because look at the rest of this.
After that is,
it's all bad. All of it. Look at all this stuff. Yeah. I'm looking at it. It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah. This, you could look at this list and say, I think all 12 of these movies could appear on a Blu-ray pack that you get in the one of those plastic bins before you leave Best Buy.
Yeah, or as Brian Dunaway always says.
Okay, Glass. I forgot about that. 2019.
So I didn't see Glass.
Yeah. You need to see that, actually. Boy, as much as you love the Unbreakable Universe, did you ever see the...
I didn't see Split either.
Didn't see Split?
No.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I should probably catch up, you know? I should probably do that.
For sure. I think do the triple feature. Watch the first one again.
I've seen that movie like a million times. I would totally watch it again, no problem. I'll watch the other two. I guess I was nervous that Sham a Ding Dong would disappoint me. And I don't want to be disappointed.
There were aspects of it. Glass is really good if you stop after the first ending of the film.
Oh, I guess they 10 minutes of the movie. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I really liked Glass. I really liked Split, too. I thought all that was really good.
Yeah.
But they put a whole bunch of extra endings onto that movie that it didn't need. Like, there's like this great reveal. It's like, oh, wow. And then they do another ending that explains the ending you just saw. And it's like, I didn't need that. I got it from what I saw. I know what's happening.
Yeah. There's some rumor floating around that he owes a ton in taxes, and that's why he's doing all this.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, phoning this stuff in because he just needs to pay this stuff off. And it's in the millions of dollars or something.
Well,
yeah, so whatever. I wonder how he was on the set.
Some walk by night, some fly by day, some take any script that passes their way.
You know, I look at him on the cover of Moonlighting. He's got a nice smile.
Yeah.
You look at him on the cover of everything since then, and it slowly, slowly evolves to be like a scowl now. He just
like
looks
he's
pissed.
Holding in a fart.
Yeah.
Basically the face you get on Bruce Willis posters these days is like,
Yep. I think we've got the lay of it. All right. Anyway, sorry, Bruce Willis. We didn't mean to dive into you, but we did it. Let's get to some news stories here before we take our leave.
Okay.
We'll start with this thing here. Oh, look, it's time for the news brought to you by...
by patrons like you! Yes, you out there. For as low as $1 a month, you can support your favorite morning show. We are your favorite morning show. Screw that Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon thing.
No kidding.
And help keep it on the air. For details on all the cool stuff you get, hop on over to patreon.com/TMS today.
Yeah, I agree. Do it today. All right, check this out. Americans, that's us.
Yeah.
Me and you. A lot of us in the chat. I know there's some Canadians in there. A few other foreign nationals, but Americans can get $5 million U.S. for informing on Russian oligarch assets.
Oh, nice. Yep. This is way better than the Florida thing where you can rat on the person next door.
Yeah, unless he's an oligarch, then it's exactly the same.
Oh, they could do that. Double up.
Yeah, double up. So, Brian, if you were walking around outside and you saw some crazy yacht attached to some huge trailer or something.
If the Russians still live next door and a big yacht, like they pulled up with a big yacht on a tow chain or a yacht on a trailer, because, you know, that's how you get yachts around.
I guess you can't count like a fence problem as an oligarch asset, but still, I like to think you could. So here's the deal. Tipsters could get up to $5 million for snitching on Russian oligarchs under a new government program. The U.S. launched Wednesday a program that offers rewards up to $5 million for information leading to the seizure of stolen assets linked to Russia or other foreign governments. The program comes as Western nations hit Russia with harsh sanctions in response to the country's invasion of Ukraine, with European countries impounding multi-million-dollar yachts. So I don't know. I don't think anybody who's listening to us has any access to any oligarch assets. But if you do, $5 million, dude. Pretty good.
Listen, you could totally support us on Patreon with that kind of money. Seriously. Oh,
Hell yeah. Imagine what you could do to this show. We'd get the game show thing. Brian and I could dump a bunch of stuff and do more TMS entirely.
Exactly. Yes.
Why don't we do that? Give us all your money.
Why don't we do that?
Citizen Kane in the news. You know the old movie everyone thinks is great?
Sure, Rosebud.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it bad? I'm going to admit something here. I've seen it.
But you've never seen it?
No, I've seen it.
Oh, really? So you're up on me. I've never seen Citizen Kane.
Oh, you should one day, so then I can hear your
take
on this.
We can see if I think it's as meh as most people in this day and age do.
That's the thing. Like, I understand it's a thing of its time, and so we're supposed to see it with that context.
Yeah.
I just was kind of bored. That movie bored me. I tried.
No, I get it.
I tried, man. I really did.
Did you ever see Mank, by the way?
No. Wait, did I? That was...
I don't know. Did you?
What's his name in there?
It was Gary Oldman as Mankiewicz.
I didn't. A couple director, years ago.
David Fincher movie.
Yeah, he was nominated for stuff.
It was last year. Yeah, it was nominated.
Didn't see it. I would totally see it, though.
It was good. And it's basically like Mankiewicz finishing up the screen, isolating himself so that he can finish up the screenplay of Citizen Kane.
Well, that I should watch and probably like more.
I'm sure you'd like it.
Because I like the cultural impact of a movie is a big deal. And I get that it's considered, you know, it's top spot for like all time lists and things like that.
Yeah.
But I watch it and I just go, well, okay. I mean, maybe it's because everybody's taken ideas from it since and, you know, are already doing things like it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, is it the fact that the people who put it at the top of their lists saw it before they found out what Rosebud was, and the twist, the surprise ending.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just he was an auteur and he was doing things ahead of his time, but now the time has caught up and passed, and so I'm just not the right audience. So I am not here to besmirch the name of anyone involved in that.
Sure.
I just didn't enjoy it. But here's what happened. It's almost as if someone else didn't enjoy it, because Citizen Kane lost its 100% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes after an 80-year-old negative review was found and added to the site.
Like 80 years ago, like when the movie came out,
right? Yeah, not even now. Like, they don't count new reviews anyway. they only count the contemporary stuff that existed, and then they add it to the site, which I think is fine. It makes the sight last a lot longer. Boy, when you're used to your mic being on this side of your body for so many months, and now I reach over here and it feels like something's wrong. Like, where is this?
Right. I don't know what I'd do if I looked this behemoth was ever not in my face.
Yeah, it's really weird. All right. Citizen Kane, or where was I here? Let's see.
Where were you?
Went from 100% to 99% on Rotten Tomatoes between February and March 1st this year. The site added a negative review to the 115 positive reviews that are already there. One published 80 years ago by Chicago Tribune's May Tinney, collective pseudonym then used by the paper's film critics.
Oh, Matinee. Matinee.
I get it. Very funny. That's interesting. It's like a pseudonym for multiple reviewers at the time.
Yeah, exactly. So that they couldn't get tomatoes and rotten eggs thrown at them when they went to the pictures.
Yeah, see?
You didn't like that movie, see? I'm throwing tomatoes and rotten eggs at you.
Yeah, see?
I'm going to shake my fist at you, too.
Oh, I love that era. So much great stuff.
Yeah.
Citizen Kane fails to impress critics. It's interesting. It's different, writes the Tribune. In fact, it's bizarre enough to become a museum piece, but its sacrifice of simplicity to eccentricity robs it of its distinction and general entertainment value, says the review. The unimpressed write-up was spotted by somebody on Twitter. And, no longer 100% fresh. Is there anything
left? It made
me
throw my 5-cent popcorn at the screen and walk out in a huff.
It was a real bummer. See? Let's see. If I look for... Can I see on the... Let's see. Popular... Can I find all-time 100%ers? Should be able to.
I mean, Parasite's still holding at 98%. So there's that.
Yeah, there is that. That's the thing I should watch.
I don't know if you can do... Can you do, like, all-time...
Gotta be, right? Gotta be.
There's gotta be a way, right, to sort and see what the 100%ers are.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do this? Let's see. Tomato meter, critics sign up, login, don't care, movies. Okay,
certified fresh movies, and then maybe sort. Oh, that's just in theaters. DVD and streaming.
I don't know how to do it.
Sort by tomato meter.
Does it do all time?
Well, Disney's Pinocchio, so I guess so. Yeah, that one's saying 100%.
Okay, that's old then, so that probably...
Yeah, but there's a new release coming out. Looking at all these, it's like available February 17th, available November 21st, although I think... I don't know when these... Yeah, because Hannah Gadsby's Nanette is still at 100%.
Let's see. I'm looking down this list here. Yeah, I think that's as good as you're going to get. And there's multiple.
Yeah, here 100s. We go. Toy Story 2, Toy Story 1, both sitting at 100%.
Okay.
The Terminator at 100%. Wow.
Whoa.
The original. The Maltese Falcon.
Okay.
Stagecoach, Anatomy of a Murder, some classics. M, another classic. Battleship Potemkin, Stop Making Sense. I recommended that a while ago.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that.
Yeah. That's newish. Right?
It's newish. I mean, 80s. It's
compared to the
Zellers. Who directed that? Jeez Louise.
Stop Making Sense.
It's 84. The Talking Heads concert film, and it's directed by...
Oh, Jonathan Demme.
Demme, yes.
Ted Demme's brother who passed away early. All right? They were two directors, and they were both killing
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, Jonathan Demme passed away. Oh, no. Jonathan Demme's the one that lived longer than Ted. But he died a couple years ago.
Right, he passed away. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Silence of the Lambs and all that. Well, all right. So there are a lot of them, it turns out. So take that, you big, dumb old movie. Take that. Again, you know, somebody wants to write in and give me a big, long explanation as to why it's so genius. That's fine. I just could not get into it. I tried real hard.
Yeah. You know what? Just because something is great, is lauded by critics to be great, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be for everybody. So that totally makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good... It's like this 80-year-old review. They didn't like it, neither do I.
Right, exactly. 12 Angry Men, that's one I want to see, the one with Henry Fonda. I saw the remake.
Oh, yeah?
I never saw the original Lumet.
Oh, yeah, never... I didn't know there was an original. I didn't know it was based on one. That's cool. I'd watch that. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's fantastic news stories.
Yeah.
Let's, take a break. Man.
Boy, do we have a story tomorrow that we're going to give you that we had to push from today. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. Plus, look, I like that Chipotle one's pretty good, too. Anyway, we'll get to all that tomorrow. But for now, a song, and then Bill will be here, and then Bobby will be here, and then we have a bonus mashup. Yeah, we got lots of stuff today, so stick around. Brian, what are we doing for music?
Hey, Scott, you like Incubus? The band Incubus? Maybe you don't like it as much as the Plane and Stealth liked it, but you like Incubus.
Yeah, they're fine. They're a rockin', fun, fine band. Yeah.
Yeah, and you like the band Sublime?
Sure. Why not?
Sure. What I got?
Yeah.
You know,
what I got. Sure. Love is. Yeah, that's what I got.
Well, if you go see either of those bands in tour this summer, you're going to see another band open for them called the Aqua Dolls. They are currently on a co-headline tour with Sitting on Stacy. That's a great band name, Sitting on Stacy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
but along with Incubus and Sublime and Rome, you're also going to see it's with the band Rome. So Incubus, Sublime, Rome, and the Aqua Dolls all are supporting the band Incubus on tour. In any case, they're awesome, and you're going to love this. This is the brand new single, Crybaby. Go check them out. They are the Aqua Dolls.
Bible School. Now, here's the sheriff, Gospel Bill.
Well, howdy. That's not the kitten I threw up yesterday, is it?
The Morning Stream, the next best thing since sliced bread.
You guys are going to have to wait for tomorrow for me to say more.
Explain
about
that kitten. Yeah, yeah. That kitten reference,
because Brian's already recommended it, but tomorrow I'm going to do like a, hey, I watched something Brian recommended and here's what I thought, man.
A second mental
freaking loved that thing.
Psycho recommendal.
I don't think I've loved anything more lately that is also something I would warn most people I know not to see. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people I know who are just these squeamish about certain things or whatever, I would be like, maybe avoid that, but I loved it. Gosh dang it, it was my kind of weird. Anyway, more on that tomorrow. Hey, Brian, tell me again who that band was so that people
once
know.
Again, those were the Aqua Dolls, brand new single they've released called Crybaby.
Nice. Nice.
Nice.
All right. I'm not really ready for Bill. Hang on a second. Oh. Here we go. I thought I was, but I wasn't. Because I always search for Bill, and it's wrong. I have to search for Punish Props. Mm-hmm. This is a thing I always screw up, and I don't know why I do that, but anyway.
The Props of Punishment.
Yeah, the Punishment Props.
Your Bat Cave's open there, Bill.
It's Bill Duran joining us, everybody, all the way from his home studio somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, where he makes cool stuff and then comes on this show and encourages us to do the same. Bill, welcome back.
Oh, good to be here. Yeah, good to be encouraging.
Yeah.
Yes, well, you're very encouraging.
You're very encouraging.
Very inspiring.
In fact, before we do anything, Brian, do you want to show off this thing to him?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I don't know if you're looking at the screen, like the stream. All right. So, I've got all these little kyber crystals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These little, get these at Disneyland with a lightsaber, and you get your blue and you get your red and purple and all that.
Can you only get them there? You can't get them anywhere else, right?
Or you can't get them anywhere else. Okay. I mean, you get them on eBay, but you can't go on to Disney.com store and buy them or anything. You have to get them there.
All right.
And when you put them in your lightsaber, it turns your lightsaber different colors, makes different sounds, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I've got almost a full set. I'm not going to buy white. It's boring. It just looks like I'm holding a fluorescent tube. And the only way to get a black kyber crystal is to keep buying red ones until you magically open one up that's got a black kyber crystal in it.
Oh, they're doing them like collect like CCG cards.
They are
cards
like a chase card kind of thing. Yep. Yeah. So I just 3D printed my own white and black, or 3D printed my own black, and I'm going to be 3D printing my own white one. And I needed some really cool way to display these because, like, oh, these are really cool things. I might as well have something awesome. So I bought one of these little lights, these little LED light panels. It's a little thin light thing, and it's even got a little motion sensor in the center of it. And I wanted to create a stand that I can put all my kyber crystals in, slide this guy in. What I like about this is that it recharges, so I can just stick a USB-C cable on the end and let it recharge, and that way I don't need to keep replacing batteries. And you know, have something to display them all. So I've been working in Shaper 3D, and I made a little kyber crystal stand. I don't know if Scott is sharing the image of it with you, but
yeah, it looks great. It's like it looks like a display you'd see at the, you know, some
like a museum or something.
Yeah, like the Jedi Museum or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
And this is your original design, right, Brian? You made this from scratch.
From scratch, used calipers to figure out the margins and everything on how big that light is. So what you're seeing now is just going to be the test print. And if I don't need to change anything size wise, then I'll move on to like really Black Spire outposting the look of it to make it look like it's something you actually got at Black Spire Outpost with some Star Warsy kind of shaping on it. Then I'll paint it and make it look like it's all banged up and rusty and
weathering worn. It would be really fun
for sure. Yeah, sand worn and that sort of thing.
It looks awesome.
Sprinkle on the sands of Tatooine.
Exactly.
Yep. The only other question I had about this thing is, what came first? Did you see the light and go, "Oh, I bet I could jam this in here and do these crystals"? Like, where did the idea?
No, I was originally thinking I would do some wiring with seven LED lights underneath it. And I thought, well, you know what? The problem with that is I got to keep changing the batteries. I want something rechargeable. So I just went on Amazon and said, rechargeable LED lights, and saw this and thought, oh, well, this is perfect. Came in a 3-pack for $20.
Nice.
And then said, yeah, give me that. And I'm going to just design something around it.
Amazon also, I don't know if these are secondhand. They probably are. They're fake. I don't know. But these are, they're Galaxy Edge Star Wars kyber crystals on Amazon. You can buy in all the different colors. But they may be cheap knockoffs. I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, they either that or it's somebody Amazon Marketplace selling them. Cause
oh, could
I don't
be,
think,
yeah.
I think only Disney can officially sell those. Let me see.
Yeah, they might be. To me, they look like they came out of some Chinese factory and.
Oh, yeah, no, these look like people selling their kyber crystals, especially the people who buy a ton of red ones.
Yeah.
And, because this is somebody selling their Galaxy's Edge Star Wars kyber crystal set of six, new and sealed, for $158 for six. So you don't get black, obviously.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Some of these are cheap, though. 11 red ones for $12?
because they still didn't get, they kept on going until they got a black. Here's a black one for $334.
Oh my lord. Jeez Louises. Yeah. All right. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Whatever. Sorry, Vader. Your color's lame, dude. Everyone has your color, Vader. All right. Hey, Bill, let's get to this. Oh, a quick thing from a listener for Bill that I want to read real quick. It says, hey, Tuesday Bill. I guess you're Tuesday Bill to him.
Fine with me.
His name's Ken. He says, I swallowed a very small amount of epoxy glue last week. He said e-week, but I think he means week. Electronic week.
It's affected his typing. Uh-oh. Yeah.
He says, is there any reason to worry? Says Ken. And you know, standard disclaimer, Bill is not a doctor. But Bill, have you ever eaten your own glue and then went, oh, no, what do I do? I've eaten glue. No?
Okay. No, I haven't. Considering it's been a week, he's probably fine. I would. I'm just confused as to how the epoxy ended up in his mouth.
No details on that, unfortunately, I wish.
All I can say is none of your glue should come anywhere near your mouth. I think that's just a pretty good statement for everyone to go by.
Something must have flicked up.
How did
something.
He do that? I'm curious. How did he eat a small amount of epoxy?
Only thing I can think of, you got your mouth breathing. You know, your goggles are a little tight. Your nose isn't working right, so your mouth breathing. You flick it real hard, and a little piece went up in your mouth something.
Why do I do all my gluing in the bathroom next to my toothbrush?
Exactly. Quit gluing in there. Also, Ken, if you want to write in and give us details, we'd be happy to have some fun with it next week. So let us know more.
Sure. There we go.
All right. Bill, let's finally get to you and what you've got this week.
All right.
What's going on? What do you got for us?
I made something. Got a new video up on our website there. I've wanted something from the Men in Black movies for a long time, and the noisy cricket was the obvious choice. It's funny to me. It's teeny tiny. It's basically a joke in the movie, but it's still one of the most iconic Hollywood weapons of all time, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's
perfect. I will admit, Bill sent me a preview of this during the week. I got a little text from Bill showing this, and I immediately... A, knew what it was, and B, thought you had gotten the actual gun prop somewhere. Like, that's how legit this thing looks. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's a very memorable part of that movie, I think, is,
You
know, silly, tiny gun that makes the most destruction and all that. But anyways, so tell us about this build.
Yes, I designed mine to do with 3D printing. And in fact, I used it as an example project for a new video course I have. Put out a Fusion 360 video course over at punishprops.com that's aimed at beginners. So if you've never used CAD software, the course is designed to teach you how to get started. Do 3D model props for 3D printing. That's the whole goal. So I have a number of example projects. I did Hellboy's bullet. I did Luke's lightsaber from Return of the Jedi. And then sort of the final project is the noisy cricket. It's a little more complicated, but it's a good example. It's a good challenge for people to try and 3D model it themselves, and that's all in that course over on our website.
Nice.
For the noisy cricket, I printed it on my newer resin printer, and it prints real nice. Like, so good, right?
Yeah. You feel like we're finally into the next phase of this. Like quality wise, kind of.
We're just about getting there. The resin printing in particular is still kind of messy with the resin, and it's still a little bit of a niche thing, but it's definitely exploding in the last couple of years.
It just seems like everyone always wanted to compare this as an analog to regular printers and when they would change. So it feels like we finally got off the 24 pin dot matrix level of 3D printing, and we're now into the, you know, basic black and white laser kind of era. Of printing, better resolution, slightly different way of maintaining it. Now it's toner instead of whatever. And, you know, like I like that comparison because it does feel like it's sort of moving on that trajectory, which to me means that in 10 years, I mean, what are we even doing then? Like, must be. If we live that long, that'd be great. Yeah. Can't wait to see.
I'm blown away with what people are able to do in their garages now with the machines they have. It's just nuts. Yeah. For the Cricut, I ended up designing it in multiple pieces so that, for example, the grips, I wanted to cast those out of a solid black urethane, so I made those separate. The trigger and the hammer are separate so that they can move. In fact, I put a little spring in the trigger so that you can pull the trigger.
Cool.
And I made the inside of the Cricut hollow so I could put some LEDs in there. Then, of course, the real challenge with this prop and any of the Men in Black props is to make it super, super shiny and chrome. So I did a lot of sanding, a lot of priming, and I did a lot of wet sanding.
I'm sorry, did you say shiny and chrome? Did I hear you say shiny and chrome? I just want to make sure.
I did say that, yes.
Okay, all right. Just got to put up the sign about the Mad Max mentions. So yeah. Good. All right, continue.
I took my time with this one, letting the layers of paint dry. I'm usually kind of hasty about that, but I would like put on the gloss black paint and then let that dry for a day, and then I put on the chrome paint. I used something called Spastix, which is a good chrome paint. And then a clear coat to protect the whole thing. And I let it all dry for like a couple of days just to be perfectly, just so that I don't damage it. If you put a thumbprint in your chrome paint, there's no fixing it.
It'll never look like chrome if you leave that on there, right?
No. And I have a couple of props that want to be chrome that have a thumbprint somewhere on them. If you look hard enough. And cat hair. There's every prop I have has just a little bit of cat hair in the paint.
It's like every Big Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way of comparing it. Yeah.
At least 14% cat hair.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Every Big Mac has a little bit of cat hair.
Just a little. It's fine.
Yeah. It was really super fun to put this thing together. There's something about designing a multi-part 3D print and then getting to assemble it that feels like putting together a new toy. It's really fun.
Yeah,
I use real screws for everything, both as decoration but also for functional parts like holding on the grips, and the pivots for the hammer and the trigger are both real screws. The battery and LED compartment is held closed with magnets, which is always very fun and satisfying.
That's cool.
It just has that snap when you close it together. Getting the LED, two batteries, and a switch crammed in that tiny area was a little bit of a challenge, but I got it to work. And I'm just so super, super pleased with how the whole thing
it's
turned
gorgeous.
Out.
Gorgeous. It is just gorgeous.
How did you, how were you certain that you were getting the proper scale? Because that's such a tiny gun, and you might see it in 3D on a screen and go, well, that looks right, but then print it and go, well, this is too big, or, you know.
Right. I found a photo of the screen used prop, the website Prop Store. Whenever they have a prop in house before they sell it, they take tons of photos with it, including photos with a ruler in them. So I found a photo of the screen-used Noisy Cricket with a ruler in it so I could tell how big it is, and I could scale it that way.
Nice.
So it's pretty on the money as far as the size is concerned.
Yeah. As good as you're probably going to find out, right? Like, there's no other way to
really unless know. I had the actual one in hand that I could measure with calipers and everything.
Right. Okay, very cool. And this thing, how long... What was your total build time? I don't know if you ever... paid much attention to total build times, but do you know how long it took you overall?
A couple of days, probably. I don't know, half a day for the 3D modeling, printed overnight, and then like two or three days worth of paint and assembly all together. It was spread out over a couple of days. A lot of time spent waiting for paint to dry, but
like
a week,
you do.
Maybe
sure,
week-ish, all
sure.
compressed.
Are you of the resin jobs you've done? You feel like, I mean, are you hitting, is this a new high watermark for you? Do you feel like you're...
Yeah, and the 3D printing with that new resin printer is going really well. This particular resin we use, this is Soriatech Blue. It's their smoky black color. It sands really well. It prints really well. I'm just really in love with this process.
Mm. Oh, so this was the semi-trans or the transparent stuff.
Yeah, and it was just actually kind of cool. Before I did all my sanding, you can kind of see through some of the parts. Yeah.
It's kind of like what you do with the squirrel, where like you need only one little part of the model to be transparent, but you're going to build the whole model transparent and then paint over the parts. Mm. Yeah, totally get that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, your little LED assembly is cool.
Isn't it?
Yes. So you could change that anytime if you wanted to do a different color.
Oh, in fact, I've got it's a little... it's not great. The connections aren't great. And I learned that I used aluminum tape for some of my contacts, and you can't solder to aluminum, but I have copper tape as well, and you can solder to copper tape. So I may swap that out because the light gets a little sputtery sometimes.
That's pretty awesome. Remind me, I'm sorry, I know you said it, but what's this resin printer you're using now that you're happy with?
That would be the Anycubic Photon Mono X, not the 4K. Not the 6K, I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right, let's see here.
Older one.
Okay, so chat, I'll put this up in the Oh, these aren't even priced that bad. This is fine.
No, right?
You can get a decent, I found out yesterday, you can get a really decent small resin printer for under $200 now.
That's insane.
Which was not the case, you know, several years ago.
That is crazy. $239 right now. Let's see. Is this the one? Yeah, the 4K model. Wow. That's tempting. Mm-hmm. How much do you pay for a bunch of resin? Does anyone know what that is?
You get a 1K or one, was it kilo? 1 kilo bottle for $30.
The price on that's come way, way down.
Yeah.
Ah, damn it. That's really tempting. I thought these were in the thousands. I had no idea. That's a great price.
No. Yeah, you should get one, and then you can take my Fusion 360 course and learn how to model stuff, and then just make whatever you want.
That's right.
Sure.
Make whatever I want. All right. Well, this is great as always. Go check out that build at punishprops.com. YouTube channel, of course. You can get there directly if you're already a follower, and if you're not, please do so. Hey, Bill, what's our bonus link today?
I've been watching the channel Smarter Every Day, and he's doing a multi-part series that is a tour of the Kodak filmmaking factory in Rochester, New York, which is just a stone's throw from where I grew up. In fact, I have a cousin who lives in Rochester.
That's cool.
It's really cool. It's like an hour long of them touring just the first part of filmmaking making film. They're not making movies. They're making 35mm film for a camera.
They're making the thing you make movies with, though.
That's cool.
It's absolutely fascinating. They use a lot of old machines, like all the old machines they used to use. They still use them. It's just mesmerizing and wicked cool.
That place looks like you need to film a action post-apocalyptic Fallout movie in it. Look at this place.
Oh, yeah, right?
Wow.
It's all brick and everything.
Yeah, that's cool. All these pipes everywhere. I love that kind of stuff. All right. Awesome. Go check that out. That's Smarter Every Day. Very popular channel. If you haven't checked it out already, you should. Bill Duran, it's always good to talk to you. Punishprops.com. Chim Beard on Twitter. Have a fantastic week.
See ya.
See you next time. Oh, there you go. That's
15
great.
Hours it's going to be to print that thing, by the way. My stand.
Whoa.
So it'll be overnight tonight. And
is it going now? It's not going now, right? You don't have it printing now.
No. I'll start at, if I start it now, I guess it'd be done at midnight. I'll start it early enough to where I can make sure as it gets higher than the build vat, I can see, make sure everything is going okay.
So does that, okay, so here's my resin question. Does, you know, with traditional filament, you have the chance of it spaghettiing out of control once in a while if it's not leveled right or whatever. With resin, is there a downfall like that you're not watching?
The potential danger is that your model is too heavy for the supports that you have holding it on the plate, and that as it raises and lowers your model, those supports break and your model sits on the unfinished, sits in the vat of goo, continuously getting new UV lights, bathing it and adding, basically turning your resin into a nice little solid plate underneath it.
And do you still have a camera trained on this thing so you can?
No, I don't actually. I moved that camera. I used that camera for a little while as my mini painting camera until I started using my phone. So I have to move it back.
Gotcha. So what you're saying is this.
I've moved Catwoman.
You moved Catwoman. Okay.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Right. The problem is that the 3D printer, the resin printer I have has a very dark shaded box around it to keep the fumes in and keep the UV light out.
Sure.
So in order to get a really clear view of what's going on there with a camera, I'd need to like put it almost right up against the box itself or put it inside somehow.
Sure. Well, it's really tempting. That price is not bad.
No. Yeah. And listen, if you're doing minis, the resin is the way to go.
The way I'd want to do resolution. It. Whenever I think about 3D printing and especially this resin stuff is I want to get good at making my own creations.
Yeah.
But I've never done it at all. So I have I feel like I don't know if I just like, can I even fit this into my life? You know, more thing I got to do.
You got to learn how to turn your creations, and your creations wouldn't be like little geometric boxes and things. They'd be more organic, like the stuff that you're doing. You did in, what was that?
more organic 3D drawing tool we were both using for a while.
It's on the iPad.
I'm
using. Yeah. And it's called Nomad.
Is it Nomad? Right?
Nomad? Maybe it's Nomad. Yeah.
It's very good, and you can convert that stuff to STLs and all that. Like, it's super, super great tool if you like working that way. But Nomad Sculpt, it's called. There it is.
There you go. Okay. Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, highly recommend that, by the way, for people. It's cool. It's inexpensive and super feature filled, and you can do all your 3D shit really well on there if you wanted. Okay, that was it with that. Now we got Bobby coming in.
Yeah.
Coming in hot. That Bobby
coming in hot. Bobby's coming in hot.
Gotta get used to the blue Discord logo and not the yellow one. Gosh dang it.
Especially after last night's ANTP recording. Bobby's coming in hot.
Yeah, he had a lot to do in post for that one.
He did. Yes.
He seems
in post
really,
and in during.
Yeah, during and post. He's good at that stuff, though. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's play this sound.
Science.
Hey, it is science, and it's with Bobby, because Bobby talks about science and comes on the show and does it right here. Hi, Bobby Frankenberger. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Does feel like we just talked to you, but I bet you're tired.
I had to take a break from editing ANTP, speaking of that. Been doing that all morning. And
yeah. How's that going? Going good?
It's hard to tell when you're this deep into it. You stop caring whether it's good or not.
Mm. you just
and right. You just, all you care about is how close to done it is.
Yeah. When you guys record, I assume you're both just like, sometimes you're probably dreading anything Zencastr may throw at you that you weren't expecting, right? Like, it
Zencastr is really good nowadays.
Yeah. Is it better?
It's this season. It's been pretty good. I'm used to all the trouble that Zencastr throws at us and everything. So it doesn't really bother me too much, honestly. Everybody complains about it, but it's just like, you know, we came up in a time when Zencastr would crash on you every 2-3 times in the middle of those 20-person recordings. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, you know, really, all in all, we were pretty lucky last night. We had one little hitch with one contestant and a little hitch with one of our judges. But other than that, I mean, I think.
But that I don't even think that was. That's not even Zencastr.
That's right. That was her laptop dying out because the battery died.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But,
right.
Yeah. Zencastr's good. People should use it if they're podcasting, especially with multiple people. Multi-track recording, and it's website. It's really good. We're not sponsored by Zencastr, but maybe we should.
Why aren't we? Golly, I need to get on the horn with them and say, look.
tell them about how your show is completely dependent on that service and how they should be advertising for it.
Exactly. We push that thing to its limits, and it mostly comes through with flying colors.
Yeah, mostly.
Mostly.
Well, Bobby, it's good to have you here. We're going to talk about a science story that I actually found and threw your direction because I'm weird this way.
Utah connection!
Yeah, that's right. I found a Utah connection. The headline is How Climbers Help Scientists Vibe with Utah's Famous Red Rock Formations. I have a lot of friends and family and myself at various times have hiked a lot of that stuff, including some of the that they mentioned in the article. There are some incredible hikes and national parks and stuff in our state. Oh, yeah. It's otherworldly. It's like a different planet half the time. And most of the time I just think of it as, oh, okay, cool. Let's make sure we take nice care of it. But it's nice that people can hike some of this stuff and the photos are beautiful. But it turns out there might be some geological data derived from dummies going down there and doing their vacations there. So tell us all about it. How does it work? What's going on?
Well, so what you're referring to is that there is recently an article that came out. You found this, and it's all over the place. I didn't do a good job of bothering to look at where the interview and everything originated from, but the one you sent me was on Science News. It was also reported on Ars Technica that there's these hikers and rock climbers, like you were saying, that scale these towers and blades formations that are really challenging to climb. What geologists have started doing is getting in touch with these people and handing them seismometers, which are just devices that measure the vibrations in the earth and in rock and everything. They give them seismometers, say, hey, while you're going up there, do you mind carrying this with you? And when you get up there, hang out for a little while and take some readings with these seismometers and find out what you can find out. And yep. So they've been doing that. And climbers have been doing a lot of help with scientists. They go up these rock structures, and they've been able to determine that this is the cool thing. They look really still. They're like parts. They're giant rock structures. They look like parts of mountains, right? They kind of are.
Yeah.
But they're in constant motion, mm-hmm. and that's what they've found out. Is they're constantly moving and vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
From things like the wind blowing across them can cause them to vibrate. But also earthquakes, tiny earthquakes from really far away. There's constantly earthquakes happening in the earth. We talked about that last week.
Sure.
Even human activity, just, you know, and when we say human activity, we don't really mean like walking next to one, but I mean like
an airplane, like, overhead or something, right? Like a helicopter.
Yeah, like airplanes or explosions from maybe mining, mm-hmm. or something like that. They even said in the article that ocean waves from, you know, really far away, from the ocean, really far away,
yeah.
Can actually cause these structures to vibrate too. And these readings help them understand that. And they
That's
found
cool.
that they vibrate as much as like 1 to 15 times a second.
Oh, geez. So yeah. What does this freak anybody out who's climbing up there and going, oh no, this is all moving. We just didn't know it. We're going
to
die.
I don't think they can feel it.
Yeah.
And that's why they need these climbers to bring instruments up there, because that's really the only way they can detect it.
Yeah.
And it helps them just, it helps them to determine what's called the resonant frequency of the rock formations. Mm. Do you know what resonance is?
Resonance is like it's like the constant wave, right? Like if you took it right. as a sound wave, it would be a consistent sound wave, right? Is that the idea?
Sort of. So
a sound that everything makes in the universe.
Yeah.
So resonance is when we're talking about the resonant frequency of a thing. What you're talking about is whenever you tap something or hit something or when something vibrates, it's like a wave moves through it. Like all the, you know, like all the molecules and atoms move in sync and a wave passes through it. And what the resonant frequency is the frequency at which the technical definition is more like it's a phenomenon where the amplitude of vibration increases as you apply force at a period equal to that its natural ability to vibrate.
So it's like what they do with bridges, so that they
yes.
don't sway too much, but they're always in motion because they
right.
want resonance, right? It's the idea.
Because if something vibrates at a natural frequency, if you apply a force. Mm-hmm. Every time that vibration wave comes up, if you apply a force down every time, then you will amplify that because you're hitting at it exactly the right moment to where none of the force that you're giving to it gets canceled out by the opposite vibration. It just adds to it every time. And so what they're able to measure by sending these seismometers up with hikers is what the resonant frequency is of these rock formations, because everything has a resonant frequency. And why do you think it would be important to understand the resonant frequency of rock formations like these?
Well, if I was to guess, and this is a complete guess, it would be so that we get better at predicting change in those frequencies, so that when...
Like earthquakes or...
Yeah. Yeah. If a big earthquake, something's going to finally hit the Wasatch Front or the Wasatch Fault, which is like the big one we're all waiting for around here. At least we've been told my whole life that was going to be the one, that one day the Wasatch Fault's going to go nuts and we're all going to cave in and die.
Right.
This gets us closer to being better prepared for small changes that may have bigger indications than we knew before, that sort of thing. I assume so.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with one of the obvious benefits of understanding the resonant frequencies has to do with earthquakes. So for example, one of the rock formations they talked about in that article was the Castleton Tower rock formation.
Mm-hmm.
It had a resonant frequency of around 0.8 to 1 hertz. And so what that means is it vibrates about one time every second. That's its natural resonant frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it vulnerable to large magnitude earthquakes. So understanding these types of things helps geologists to understand and be able to predict what could happen in the case of an earthquake, even small ones, but especially large ones. And it also helps them to be able to model and understand and see what the geologic history, seismic history of the area is.
Mm.
By being able to understand what it's vulnerable to and what it's susceptible to.
Yeah, and it's our damn planet. We want to figure shit out, right?
We want to know what happens when things happen.
Yeah, because if the more you know, right? That's the whole reason we have that stupid animation. The more we know.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. This, by the way, was a geologist heading this up. Somebody named Riley Finnegan at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. That part's not important, but I just love a guy named Riley Finnegan. Yeah, Finnegan. I came here from Ireland to check out your dirt. It seems like your dirt is fine. Anyway.
You've got big rocks here in Utah.
It's like a veritable gold at the end of the rainbow here. All right. Excellent. I love this stuff. If you want to read more about it, Science News.
Citizen science. Citizen science is pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, astronomy has a lot of citizen science. Bird watching.
Yeah.
There's tons of citizen science.
Oh, yeah. Our previous guest, Bill Duran, loves to bird watch. He's a big fan of that stuff.
Yeah. So does Nikki Ackermans from AMTP. Speaking of AMTP.
Oh, I didn't know Nikki did that. That's cool.
Yeah, she's a big birder. She introduced me to the apps that I use now. To every time I see birds, I like log the
That's
apps
cool.
on an app in my area. So, because it helps. It helps scientists to
Very
know
nice.
what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Don't there's some of this stuff happens with like amateur telescope people. What are they called?
Astronomers.
Astronomers.
Yeah,
amateur astronomers.
Yeah, they've all got, you know, some relatively high powered but available to the public type equipment, and can't they contribute some stuff? They probably can, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
I know one of them found the meteor that almost hit Earth and a deep impact.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah, that was a citizen right there.
but in all seriousness, amateur astronomers have discovered many things that scientists have not, because, you know, this space is real big.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of space in it.
Yeah. More space than you'd think. There's a lot out there.
You need a lot of people to look.
Yeah. Those stars that number more than the sands of the sea, they always told me growing up. Is that still true? Do we think that's true?
Still true. Well, there's more sand now, maybe.
Because we're not counting the sand under the water. We always counted just beach sand. So maybe it's if you counted every speck of dust on this planet, would that still under be
is
under
the
how
universe
many stars?
Infinite? Because if the universe is infinite, then
if it's exactly infinite, then somebody else is recording a show right now with Booby Frankenheimen, and he's got a beard and a mustache, but it goes longer than yours, and both of your eyes are fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I heard someone say that one time, like, if the universe is infinite, then there is another planet Earth out there that is exactly the same as us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No change, no difference. But then there are infinite numbers of Earths that are slightly different and then completely different. And then
we're not talking
number of
about
monkeys typing Shakespeare. It's the whole
We're not talking about a multiverse either. Like, literally in our same universe, if it's infinite, it's out there.
Yeah. They're out there doing what we're doing this very second.
It blows my mind.
Yeah, but they've got 300 million downloads per episode, and they are set for life. That's the difference between
I think there's an edge. There's a it stops.
It stops. There's a ceiling to this.
You kind of hit, you go, like, you're floating along, go, and they just, like, bounce back into the space again.
You just can't deal with the thought that there's another Brian Ibbett out there competing with you.
No. Exactly.
That other Brian Ibbett, by the way, is totally fine having a little bit of hobo poo in his food for all the money in the world.
Right. That's the difference between
that's
him and me.
That's the big difference. Yeah. Well, all right. This is always fun to hang out and talk about this stuff. Hey, Bobby, I know you have a show all about science. And in fact, it's called All Around Science, but it's all about science. Yeah. Tell me where to get it and what you guys are talking about on there. these days.
Well, I'm going to do my best to unconfuse people about the title of the show that you just did. it's All Around Science. It's not your fault. It's our fault for naming it All Around Science. But it's called All Around Science. You should check it out. Me and my co-host Mora, we talk about science news and just things we're excited about in science every week. For example, this episode that came out yesterday, we finally, for a couple of weeks, we've been debating over whether a chicken egg, it was my belief that a chicken egg is a very large single cell.
Mm.
And it was her belief that it's many cells, and she also has a degree in biological sciences. but I was holding firm, and we finally decided to dig in and talk about who was right and who was wrong in this episode, and we get to talk a lot about how baby chickens are made.
I like my cells over easy. That's how I like my cells.
Scramble mine.
Yeah.
My cells.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is representative of a single-celled thing. Well, I guess I have to listen to the episode to find out where you guys landed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. But now I'm curious. This is a good promo that you did. This worked well.
Would you say that the answer was somewhere? No.
Don't do it.
gotta watch it.
Yeah, you got to watch it or listen to it. Check it out. All Around Science, wherever you get your podcasts. Bob, you have a great week. I'll see you next time. Bye now. Okay, Brian.
Bye.
Hey, I got a bonus mashup from Jamie called Fingers. What? It's a UC, which is unnecessary censorship.
Oh, good. All right. So ready for the bleeps, the unneeded bleeps and bloops.
The fake beeps and bloops. They're all yours now, everyone. So enjoy.
All right. Oh, my is in my crotch. Okay.
I like it to have it gently vibrating there all morning. The guy walks in with the most glorious I've ever seen. He was like the Crystal Gale of
Okay. All right. So his length is as opposed to bulk.
Yes, correct.
All we got was just some dude picking up heavy weights with his
find out why my is purple or whatever it is, you know, go for it. Oh, I'll never forget this. They had a vat of
oh, geez, really?
Yeah. Like a big round steel, I don't know what, with just and I don't know why. Hey, can I take that in the And I'm said, sure, I guess so. And so she takes my whole back into the rear.
Well, I like to spontaneously in strangers. Does that count? Feels good in my ear holes.
All over your face.
This is why I stopped doing.
I don't think the are any better.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think are better.
Happy she kept that going. I too.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, master away. We like it. He has a big, huge.
Oh, does he?
I thought he did.
That is a big.
Yeah, look at the size of his up ding. My big takeaway from this is I'm hungry for is that normal? Why am I hungry? I'm jealous of the big one. I want a big one. Is that later?
Yeah, about 96 when I got my first.
I'm not saying I'm going to f*** this lady. I'm not going to probably ever do anything with her again.
I did shave my because it was getting shaggy and unruly, and I kind of overdid the shave. How tiny or how big is that? So you see on this, you see the top of that, right? The head of that is big and wide.
Yeah, yeah.
Wider than the hole that's on the. So you've got a long slit, and you've got to put the in the bottom of the slit and then let the go to the top
of the slit. Yeah.
The slit. If I put this in any place in any order, it's throat, then not vice versa.
No, don't put it in throat. Yeah, you don't want that. He just looks good. Look at him.
Yeah.
Just whipping his around, putting it in his pants.
His hole would open up and he would just, you know, stick it out there.
And I'm thinking, well, I'll just grab it with some fingers with the hand that's holding the. No big deal.
Okay, sure.
It's not like a giant.
You can hold the with two fingers and do the with the other three if you need to.
Exactly. That's the theory.
Wow.
Holy cow.
That was a beast. That was a.
Well done, Jamie.
That was great. I know most of what we talked about was nothing like what he bleeped.
Yeah.
I would be afraid to play the bleeped version to my mother-in-law. I'd be terrified for her to hear that.
Yeah.
Because she would believe that we were saying all those things and it had been bleeped. That's how good that was, Jamie. That's the kind of pro you are.
Some of those are bleeped so well, I don't even remember the original context of what the hell we were talking about.
No, 90% of it, I don't remember any of it. So I think that's a sign that you did good. All right, real quick here, a quick email from Ben. He says, you guys need to check out Archive 81 on Netflix if you want something extremely creepy, weird, and great. That's it. War Eagle, Ben.
I like all those things. Is that a series? I'm looking it up. Is that a series,
yeah,
series or a
brand new series? Oh no, series? Maybe it's a movie. I don't know.
Car fiction, one season, so it is a series.
Maybe limited series.
Number of episodes, 8.
Yeah, the art or the art thing at the front of the thing when you open Netflix looks really like my jam already, whatever it is. So yeah, this was definitely in my list. We will check it out. Who will get it first and may recommend it? Who knows? Is this foreign?
All I have to do is watch one episode and Scott will stay away from it. Yeah. It's like planting my flag.
Well, it depends. If you do...
I know, I'm kidding.
Because I love the thing I'm going to talk about tomorrow. It's my favorite recommendation.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, right.
Loved it.
Good. Oh, I'm so glad.
All right. Cool. I can't tell if this
if this is a watch it with Tina or just watch it myself. Maybe it's just a watch it myself kind of thing.
What do they have under the parental? They usually break down like how weird it is, like if it's super violent or something. She doesn't like scary, right? She's not into the horror movies, or is she?
She doesn't like horror movies. Mystery thriller with horror elements.
Okay. Is it foreign?
Standard found footage formula.
Oh, I like found footage when it's done right. I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'll watch this. Good job, Ben. You did it. Yeah. You made us interested. Cool. Okay. What else? That's it. Patreon.com.
Oh, brand new. 2022.
It just came out, I think, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Patreon.com/TMS is the place to support the show. And if you haven't done it yet, maybe do it now because it's super cheap. And even if you're like, man, I hardly got anything. Do you have a dollar a month? Do you have that? Can you find anything that gives you as much as we give you for a dollar a month? No. They don't exist.
No.
You get bonus shows every week. You get bonus content every day. You get an always ad-free experience. You get other stuff in the mail. You get all kinds of things by signing up at patreon.com/TMS. Do it today. For everything else, it's frogpants.com/TMS. Get your tickets and your swag for Vegas if you're coming. And even if you're not, get your swag. But if you're coming, that's great too. We want to see you. But we need you to grab your tickets. That's all over and linked over at vivatmsvegas.com. So check that out. I think that's it. Oh, send us your feedback, your thoughts, your comments, themorningstream@gmail.com. Could use a few more emails this week, so send those in. All right, Brian, I think we're done. Do you want to... Hey, you have anything else other than the thing, to a song to play?
I don't think so. I don't think I have anything else other than the song.
I do have one more thing. Sorry. Play Retro tonight, 3:30. Be here for that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, be there for that. I don't have anything else to promote. Hem and I are recording a thing for Soundography, but that's just for patrons. So.
Gotcha.
Only they know about it.
Only they know.
Dan, excuse me. Like, you just got into my, like, took that deep breath to do my intro.
Yeah.
Dan wrote in and said, hello again. Waltzer super fan here. You've played Lantern. You've played a Puddles Pity Party cover of Destroyer. How about a Waltzer cover of 10cc's I'm Not in Love? Why? Because I won't be happy until Sophie Sputnik is famous. That's why. Also, it was my birthday on the 13th. Well, that's all I needed, Dan. That's the only reason you needed to give me. This thing's awesome. I'm a big fan of 10cc. And I really like this cover of I'm Not in Love. This comes from their single that they released last year. It's got a very cool down-tempo electronic vibe to it. Here are Waltzer with I'm Not in Love.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's right, a super sloppy Hawaiian ring toss.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.